Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bessia ready at the letters. The left-hander kicks. Stott squares and the bunt down towards third. Muncy's got it. They're going to third with it, and he is out at third base. Betts coming over to take the throw, and he tags out Castellanos. And Max Muncy, with a tremendous play, charging in, fields it, turns around, and throws to third. And a failed bunt takes away the tying run in scoring position.
I don't know how you can bunt there. I mean, with their charging like that, and you got Casty, I mean, he's out by 15 feet.
Yeah,
I just totally disagree with that.
L.A. don't make it no better.
Well, he's right. I mean, he saw it the way the rest of us did. Welcome back. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. And the hours go by, and I keep replaying the bunt in my mind. They have the Dodgers on the ropes, and they give them a get-out-of-jail-free card. All right, we'll get back to all your phone calls in a second here. As we react to the game, the series, down 0-2, Nola tomorrow night. Topper, the bats, I mean, those stars, 2-for-21 between Turner and Harper and Schwarber. I didn't even realize, so one of our callers brought up last segment, how bad Trey's been overall in the playoffs in his career. I didn't realize his OPS in the postseason, 685 compared to 821 in the regular season. That is a massive difference. It's ugly. The whole thing is ugly right now. The bullpen's not been good. The defense, obviously, in the seventh inning was atrocious. All right, let's get to the details of that bunt. And that, look, the decision was bad, but then you play the details and it gets worse. Let's hear Freddie Freeman after the game last night explaining how the Dodgers pulled off the wheel play.
We were talking about, so the whole conversation during was that, obviously, and then if we run the wheel play, that means there's going to be no one at second base. So that's when I chimed in. I said, if he bumps to third base, Max, you throw to Mookie. Tommy's going to first. I'll sprint to second base if it's not coming to me. That's why you saw me running to second. So we were just coming up with a plan on the wheel play to make sure we still had every base covered so he couldn't go home to second. And obviously they pulled off perfectly.
And the fact that they say that with so much confidence lets you know that they had the right guy in that position, because – They knew he couldn't run. They were very, very confident. The way Mookie took off, like it was the most telling. When you told me when you talked about it this morning, and I saw it, like I visually saw it again. There was no way on God's green earth that Castellanos had a chance at that.
So it's a combination of Dodgers were ready. They kind of wanted it, right? Then you throw in it's Castellanos at second base.
Yeah.
And two things are true here in this, and they're neither are good for the Phillies. Castellanos is slow. He's the slowest guy on the team by a lot. I think he's way slower than Bohm, who's really slow. But the other part of it is, he's not a very good or instinctual base runner. Let's hear Jimmy Rollins post-game last night on TBS explaining what Castellanos did wrong even before his lack of speed played into it. Here's J-Roll.
Remember, there's no force play. There's no force play at third.
He's got to tag you at third.
He has to tag you at third. So they're giving up second base. That means I can get as far as I can because no one's going to be at second base.
I can always
back
turn around.
I can
and
always
run
get
second.
Back. He didn't do that. He was just kind of sitting there, almost like there was no game plan. Mm. Like what to do? If I can read this bunt and it's short and I can get there, I can go.
Right.
If not, I can go back.
So a couple things there, Hugh, from Jimmy Rollins, who was obviously a tremendous player, a shortstop, a base runner. Like, he's the perfect – like, I can't think of many other people that are perfect to break that play down than Jimmy, considering what he did in his career. What I heard there was him saying Castellanos put himself in a bad spot by not taking a bigger lead, right? If he – considering there's nobody covering second base, he could be halfway off the base And if you know, Stott takes the pitch, if it's in the dirt or whatever, and he doesn't bunt it, he could walk back to second. There's no consequence there. He didn't come that far off the bag. So then it's a race between him and Mookie, and he's going to lose that every time.
Yeah, he's not that fast. And it's so obvious. It was so obvious when Mookie took off. And you see the effort that it took for Castellanos just to get going. And Mookie was already at third base. It was a picture perfect for them.
So after the game, Toppert said something to the effect of Mookie hit it well. You know why he hit it well? Because Castellanos let him hide it well. Right? He knew, all right, wait, he's like, Castellanos is only 10 feet off the bag. All I got to do is outrun Nick Castellanos to third. I don't have to give it away. So maybe he kind of hit it and Stott didn't see. But the reason he was able to hide it was because Castellanos didn't take a big enough lead. It's just the wrong player, the wrong person, the wrong moment, and the wrong managerial decision. It's like, I was hoping there'd be something logical as the day went on for me to like grasp on, like, oh, I get that. Nothing. I've got nothing on why they did that. Anthony in West Deptford. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, how's it going?
Anthony, well, we're all right. We're doing the best we can here.
Yeah, I was just calling to talk about it. You guys, you know how you guys said Topper has a nail in the coffin after last night?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say you're wrong. He has a nail in the coffin for tomorrow night when he's starting Aaron Nola with a 6 ERA. What is he thinking?
Anthony, I don't know. I mean, I keep waiting, and I'm sure it won't come out till after the series. I keep waiting for someone to tell me Ranger Suarez is hurt, and that's why he can't pitch, because none of this makes any sense. Hugh Douglas is the only one on board with Aaron Nola pitching in this entire city. It's amazing. Him and Topper.
It's insane. And, you know, we had our two starters. Sanchez, you know, he had a great outing. Lizardo last night, I was at the playoff game last night. First inning was a little shaky, and then he just had a complete shutout. And he did great. Now, if we can't have bat support with those two aces, how are we going to have bat support when Nola lets up, you know, six runs in the first two innings?
Well, it's going to feel, yeah, if it gets that bad, Anthony, it'll feel impossible. I don't get it, man. And we preached the phone call. I don't get the Aaron Nola decision. It feels, at worst, it feels like Sanchez is hurt and they're not telling us, or Suarez is hurt, they're not telling us. At best, it feels like they're overthinking this thing. Well, let's try to get Nola through a couple innings and they'll put their guys in and hit a righty and then we'll flip to Suarez and we'll trick him for the next four innings. It just feels like we're overthinking this thing for absolutely no reason.
Yeah, and I think that they believe in Nola. And with that being said, I know what the caller just said, but I have no choice but to believe in him. I know it.
You have
in
a choice. This
well, I have a choice, but if Topper's – like, because we're talking about job security now. We're talking about, you know, decisions that are going to be made in this last game, if that's the case, yeah, which I don't think it is, that are going to affect you in the long term.
You don't
term.
Think he's out of here if they lose the series in three? I don't think he's the manager next season.
I think
season.
That's a conversation, Joe. I think that there's going to be some people that look at that and they're going to suggest that. I think cooler heads prevail and he's not. But I think they're going to look at this roster and they're going to have to shake it up. You got to shake the roster.
Yeah,
up.
But I think they could do both. I mean, Dave Dombrowski, when he took over the Red Sox, John Farrell was the manager. John Farrell won the World Series in 2013. After 2015 or 16, one of those years, he got him out of there. Mm-hmm. And they hired Alex Cora and won another World Series. Like, I don't know how Dombrowski could watch this and keep the manager unless they have a miracle comeback here. And I'm not saying that Rob Thompson is the only reason that they're losing. Clearly, the top three hitters have been disasters. But it's way easier to change a manager than it is to what? To trade Bryce Harper?
Well, yeah.
To move off trade? Like, what are they going to do?
You're right. In that sense, you're right. But then I also think about how long has the manager for the Dodgers been there? And he had some rocky ones at the beginning until they finally broke through.
Yeah.
So it's one of those, like, this is what we're talking about. And I know that people are frustrated with Topper. And I get the frustration because of some of the moves that he's made. But the bottom line for me is this. Go look at the stat line from the last three playoff series of your guy. Of, when I say your guy, I'm saying the guy, mm-hmm, Bryce Harper. Go look at the stat line for Kyle Schwarber. Go look at that and tell me then whose fault is that. Because Topper's not in the batter's box. He's not. Now, he has to make those decisions that the game comes down to. But just like I said, Joe, every time he has to make those decisions, they somehow pee to bed.
So I agree with you. But even the Dodgers with all their stars, Dave Roberts has to make big decisions. His decisions have been better so far in the series.
Yeah, I mean, I give you that. But you, when you put your stars in, like, just like J. Roll explained it, if you're Castellanos, you know you're not that fast. He's not at second base. Lean off a little bit more. Give yourself a better chance.
I agree. But why is Topper asking his worst base runner to try to do something he's not good at?
Yeah, but that's the situation you're in, and it's all hands on deck.
But you didn't have to bunt.
I mean, I hear what you're saying, and that's not what I'm arguing, but okay, the bunt was called, Joe, right?
Yes.
So you need to, if you know you're running with cement shoes, you need to give yourself at least a better chance than you gave yourself.
I know.
To pick those heavy-ass shoes. Go look at their, like, Joe, the funniest thing about
he can't move anymore. He can't move.
But Joe, just go look at it again, because when you see Mookie take off, it's like without any effort. And with Castellanos, it's to your point, it looks like he has bricks in his pocket.
I saw someone, or maybe I heard someone this morning, I think it was I was driving, and someone say, well, Castellanos is old, he's declining. I think him and Mookie are the same age. Mookie Betts is a top-tier athlete, and Castellanos is just not anymore. Ken in Cinnaminson. What's up, Ken?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, Ken. Ken, we're getting by. We're trying.
So, I take no pleasure in being correct about all of this. But let me get the bunt out of the way first. I have no problem with the decision to bunt there. I would have had no problem if he's letting Stott swing too, because I mean, you know, you don't have the double play in order there, and you know, we're killing him because he's saying, you know, I'm playing to tie the game. Well, they might not teach you this at Penn State, but it's a mathematical fact that you can't get the five runs until you first score four runs. So you, at the very least, you've got to get through the bottom of the ninth inning with the game tied.
So, Ken, before you go on, I hear you, but you're also less likely to score more runs with one out and a guy on third than no outs and a guy on second. I mean, you're cutting off your nose to spite your face.
Well, first of all, there wasn't no outs. There was one out, I believe.
No, there was no outs.
Now here's the thing.
There were no outs, Ken. There were no outs.
Okay, Castellanos.
Because, hold on, because if there was one out, it would be even more indefensible because you'd be bunting him to third with two outs and then the fly ball doesn't score.
You're right. Castellanos, the problem is that the problem is even Castellanos' speed. The problem is that Castellanos has to understand his responsibilities as a base runner, which means when he sees Mookie Betts break towards third base, he's got to be step for step with him. And if he knows he can't get there, he goes back to second base, which is undefended.
Yes.
So, so you're asking a manager to make a decision like that in a situation where he's got to take into account the fact that the guy on second base, as an 11-year veteran, is an idiot. I don't know that any manager in baseball is going to do that. The problem, the reason why we're in this situation is the same thing that has been the case for this team, which is why I've talked about the fatally flawed construction of this roster. You go back and you look at what the Dodgers have done to this team. You go back and you look at what every pitching staff has done to this team in the postseason since they left for Arizona for Game 3 of the NLCS. This team cannot hit spin. And this team cannot lay off spin. So that's the problem. They are not chasing pitches out of the strike zone. When this is over, and it's going to be over, you know, within the next couple of days, we're not going to be talking about chase rate in the postseason postmortem when Dave Dombrowski comes out and explains why Rob Thompson's still going to be the manager and why we're going to run the same core of guys back. But the problem is that they are missing in the zone, because they just can't hit spin and they can't lay off spin. I mean, Ohtani strikes out Schwarber the other night, and he blows 101 mile an hour fastball past him, and then strikes him out on a 12-6 breaking ball at 88 miles an hour that nobody on the planet is going to hit. So the problem is with the construction of this team, and it's not a coincidence that the team that has gone the furthest in this iteration since Rob Thompson has taken over as the manager had Rhys Hoskins, the right-handed bat, in the middle of the lineup, and, oh, by the way, the leader in the clubhouse, and had Gene Segura, who wasn't a great hitter, but he didn't strike out a lot. He was a really good bat-to-ball guy. Organizationally, and I've got to believe it's organizational at this point. I can't blame Topper. I can't blame the hitters. I got to believe organizationally the philosophy is that putting the ball in play is not that important. And that is going to be the downfall of this team every year in the postseason until they make wholesale organizational changes. I've been saying it for 2 years. They need to empty that new building they built on Darien Street across from the stadium for the analytics department and tear it down brick by brick and get back to playing the game of baseball the right way. The Dodgers scored four runs in the seventh inning last night, four runs on on one extra base hit, and all the rest were singles.
Well, and Ken, with that, and even that extra base hit was a great piece of hitting by Freeman. The only reason he had a double is because Castellanos can't move in the outfield. Ken, we appreciate the call. Yeah, look.
That was a told you so moment, though. He did.
About the construction of the roster?
Yeah, he did.
Well, their guys are better than ours. I mean, as much as we want to be angry at our guys, their guys are better. I mean, who would you rather have, Ohtani, Betts, Freeman, or our three? This is pretty easy for me.
Oh, yeah, it's not that. Yeah,
it's their guys.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, it's the bottom line. It's their guys. Let's go to Rick in Easton. What's up, Rick?
Hey, guys. You know, whether he should be fired or not is really not the big question. The big question is, and you've been saying it all day, are those top three guys delivering? If Bruce Bochy was the manager, would this team have won? We don't know if they don't bunt there. The bottom line here is Aaron Boone's been around for 8 years, manager of the Yankees.
Yeah,
and they didn't fire him yet, right?
Yes.
They didn't fire him yet.
Yep.
Why? Because in New York, they know the players are the entity that's keeping them from winning. And this is what's happening. We all talked about this the whole season. When they play these AAA teams, let's face it, if there's not collective revenue sharing, teams like Colorado and Pittsburgh and the White Sox can't hang around. And actually, the Pittsburgh Pirates swept the Phillies this year. We've been saying this all year that some of these pitching staffs that were not going to make it to the playoffs would keep Schwarber, Harper, and Turner cold. And if that happens in the playoffs when you're facing pitching staffs that are much better than during the season, you're going to be in trouble if those three go cold. And here it is, 4 years in a row, it's happening again.
It is, and it's a problem. And, Rick, they're only getting older. I don't think they're going to get better as time goes on. And, Rick, man, we appreciate the phone call. I get that. I said, look, I'm not trying to tell you I'm not taking the hitters off the hook. Bryce has sucked in this series. Snell beat him in the sixth inning. Schwarber has been invisible. And Turner, although he's probably been the best of the three hitters, right, he's gotten on base in all the games. He got the hit last night in the eighth inning to get a run on the board. His defense is always a problem for me, and I never want the ball hit to him. So they've all been a problem. But the idea that the manager doesn't make a difference, guys, yes, it does. And I don't know what they're going to do, but Bruce Bochy's available. Bruce Bochy, we remember it here in 2010 when his Giants beat the Phillies. Mm-hmm. Bruce Bochy won a World Series without any offense. He won because he made strategic moves to win with what he had. He got over the hump with what he had. The guy's won everywhere. He's won the World Series with the San Diego Padres. He went to the World Series three times with the Giants. He went to the World Series and won it with the Rangers a couple years ago. He's an all-time manager. And if he wants to manage, I would replace Topper with him in a heartbeat if that's what it comes to. Marlon is up on WIP. Marlon.
Hey, Joe.
Marlon.
Come on. Hey, Joe. Why you always got to come at every year? You Philly fans got to come at the manager for what y'all putting on the field?
Marlon, Marlon, was that bunt a good idea?
Yeah, babe, it was.
It was.
Did you see the end of the thing when he said, if you see the will, don't do it?
Yeah, what? Marlon! They gave it away in the first pitch of the at-bat. He showed bunt.
Yeah, he showed bunt. He did
show bunt. What I'm saying is that don't justify Castellanos. You know you can't make third. Don't do it.
Marlon.
He has to run.
Marlon, but the manager knew who was at second base. He knows that guy can't run and is not a smart base runner.
Okay, but why are you going to make your show all about Topper when you just see Bryce Harper? See, this is what Jack said in the first game. Well, nobody hit, but at least Bryce had a single. A single ain't getting it done for $300 million, bro.
I agree.
Okay, but yet ain't nobody keep the thing going on Bryce Harper. He is not hitting.
Marlon, we all said the same thing all day.
And then here go another scenario, Joe. Mm. Just like when y'all knew Turner was coming back. Bader, y'all should have made Bryce Harper move. Ain't he? I remember years ago.
Where's he moving?
Oh, Bryce Harper's
talking about to back to the outfield.
He's bringing in players. He's bringing in players. This is all about him. This is all about Bryce Harper and how he feels and where he want to play and who he want to play with. Start blaming it on that.
Blame him. Marlon, I'm not defending him. Blame him all you want.
But no, yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
You're making it all about
Hold on. Marlon, I haven't defended Bryce Harper once today.
No, he didn't do that.
Not one time.
He didn't do that.
But what I'm saying is you ain't got to. You're doing a psychology like y'all all
doing psychology. Marlon, two things could be true at once. Bryce sucked, and the manager has been a disaster in this series.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be some uncomfortable conversations that I don't be having.
You keep talking about the manager.
Because it's one of the worst decisions I've ever seen. He gave the Dodgers an out for no reason.
Joe, they had 0 runs, 5-6 innings the last 2 games.
But Marlon, so did the Dodgers. That's playoff baseball. The Dodgers they had one hit for the first 6 innings. That's playoff baseball. You're not going to hit every inning. Forget Bryce, all of them. Like, the Dodgers got shut down, but then they won the game at the end. Like, these games come down to decisions and moments. No one's going to hit every inning.
Well, you know what? Because the Dodgers was dumb to bring the pitcher in before y'all even got three. When he had the ball on that he should have brought out, Suzuki or whoever, he should have brought him out anyway. But he didn't. So he tried to give y'all a chance. But y'all don't do nothing but blame managers, and y'all got these players just doing what the hell they want.
Do you think the manager's done a good job, or do you just want to rip Bryce?
Hell yeah, he did a hell of a
job. Oh, my God, Marlon. Come on now.
He's swinging the bat.
So what is his job then?
You know what? It's the same thing Sirianni. This is what I'm talking about. Y'all see that offense look terrible, but yet y'all want to blame the other coach. What do the head coach do?
Well, I'm not quite sure sometimes with the Eagles, but at least he wins games most of the time.
Y'all told me off that, but y'all are going to jump on top of who's doing the best he can. These dumb players don't do that.
He's doing the best he can.
Yeah, best he can, that's all.
He's doing his best.
Yeah, he's just pop in the dugout, hanging out. Marlon, we appreciate
that's
it.
That's a Cowboys fan mentality
right
there.
That was. Yep.
I'm doing my best. Just doing the best.
Playing for the tie, yeah. Again, the manager came on after a crushing loss to go down 0-2 at home and said, I was playing for the tie. I'm supposed to be okay with this.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, I'm more stuck on the big dogs not doing big dog things. You know, they're not. If anything, I'm more mad about Bryce saying, well, what did he say? We'll get him next time or something like that. He said in the press conference, hey, we're seeing pitches down the middle. It's not good. Yeah.
That's baseball sometimes.
You know, you're allowed to come on here and rip Bryce. I'm not going to stop you. I don't think Bryce has done anything good in this series.
I don't think anybody is pinning this solely on one person.
No.
It's enough to go around. But it's going to have to change. There's no question about that. You can't run this back. You can't.
Well, we said this last year.
And they did it.
And they did it. And then we walked in the post. He was like, you know what? This one's different.
I don't think
Schwarber coming back. I think he's like, he's done with it. We're done with us.
I don't think you want Schwarber to come back.
No, I do want him to come back. He's from Ohio.
Sometimes you have this sneaky way of dropping in a thing.
Subliminal.
Yeah. It's the whole, like, I'm fascinated thing.
Dodger Douglas here putting the seeds of discontent.
Okay. let's workshop this just a tad.
Yeah.
Okay, if you're Schwarber, you're about to get mega pay, right?
Yeah.
You already won a World Series. Mm-hmm. Probably, if this goes the way that you guys think it's going to go, probably not going to win one here. Because we said that this was it, right? So why not go get all the bread you can?
I think you brought up something today that I don't think people have considered. It's more been about money, right?
Yeah.
I think there's going to be a fair question in his. Like, let's say the money's even.
Yes.
Where's my best chance to win my next World Series?
Yeah, that's it. Because you already got one.
No,
and he's looking at these.
You might be right.
He's looking at these guys like, dog. And even though he's a part of, he might be there. Y'all come up short. In the postseason.
But he does too.
I'm not absolving from that, but he has in this series for sure. He has it out. Like, he can leave.
Yeah.
He can go somewhere else and be the same dude in the postseason on another team and get carried into a World
So what you're
series.
Saying is he might look at the ship is sinking. I'm getting out.
He might do that.
I wish I had an out.
Where would you go? Where are you going? Where else would you rather be than right here with us?
That river's looking mighty fine today.
Well, I might join you
where would you rather be here
10:15 tomorrow night when Nola's laboring through the third. All right, 215-592-9494.
I have no faith.
He had a 6 ERA this year. Where's the faith coming from?
The same faith that came. The same faith that y'all had when y'all said, hey, Bryce Harper better turn it on in the postseason.
Yeah, but Bryce Harper was better this year than Nola was.
Okay.
I mean, like,
yeah,
at
like
least.
It's not even close.
Yeah, but still, it's still.
No.
Work for my.
Well, that's good. I'm happy for you.
That's wonderful. Yeah. All right, quick break from yelling about the Phillies. Ross Tucker joins us. Don't you dare. All right, coming up. I'm sure I have something to say about last night, but of course, talk some Eagles with Ross as well. Apparently, a meeting last night between Saquon, AJ, and Jalen. Did they speak? And we'll look ahead. The Eagles play in a few days in New York against the Giants. That and right back to your calls in the Phils. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it kind of feels like it, at least for the Phils. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. We'll get back to all your phone calls as we vent on everyone today. The manager, the stars, the defense, the bullpen. Dodgers 2, Phillies none, nothing. As we get ready for Game 3 tomorrow night with Aaron Nola and the Mets. All right, let's take a little bit of a break. Just a little bit from the Phils to get some thoughts on the Eagles. But I'm sure Ross has some thoughts on the Phils, too. I know his kids are fans. Ross is a fan, probably watching this thing last night like the rest of us and feeling like garbage. Ross Tucker with us here, of course, the host of the Ross Report, talking Eagles on social media, at Ross Tucker NFL. Ross, how you doing today?
Not great, Joe. Not great. You know, I'm usually very upbeat and excited, but, you know, my kids are 12 and 13, and by far – their three favorite teams are the Eagles, the Phillies, and Penn State. And ooh. So you have the Phillies lose Friday night.
Wow.
Penn State. And here's the thing. Every loss was like agonizing. You know, they're watching the end of the Penn State game, and Penn State looks like they're going to come back and actually win it, and then they blow it. And then Sunday, the Eagles look like they're going to win all the time, and then they lose. And then last night, you know, we're sitting there, and after the Castellanos hit, we were excited. They're jumping up and down. And he's on second. There's no outs. I'm feeling really pretty good about it. And I don't know. I don't pretend to be a big baseball guy. I really stopped playing after sixth grade. But I don't understand. I understand the thought process of the bunt there. Get the guy to third with one out, then you can get a sacrifice fly. I get that. But he's a lefty. You know, have some faith that he can put it in play or pull it to the right side. But can someone explain this to me? Even if all else fails and you're still going to have him bunt, doesn't it make more sense to bunt down the first baseline, or do you bunt to the third baseline? Because then the shortstop has to cover the base.
Yeah, I would think bunt towards the first baseline, especially Freddie Freeman, the Dodgers first baseman, Ross, a right-handed thrower. So, like, and it's not like if he was a lefty, he could scoop and throw to third. But as a righty, he'd have to flip around to
and
throw.
And it's a longer throw.
Yeah, of course. And then on top of it, Castellanos is the slowest runner on the team. So it's a foot race with him and Betts to third. And it's just, like, in theory, it could have been an okay idea. But based on the whole operation, it just was. It's funny you mentioned your kids, Ross. I thought I was having a good dad moment last night. My kids are 10 and 8, and they went to bed after the 8th. And then I'm watching, and the 9th starts playing out. I'm like, I got to wake them up. I got to get
nice.
Them. Like, this is a moment. So yeah. I got them downstairs. I paused it when Cassiano hit the double, and I was like, all right, come on. And then we watched the meltdown together, and then they see me annoyed at Topper, you know, on the couch there, like, what is this guy doing? And then they went back to bed all upset, and I felt bad because I woke them up. For no reason. It was a rough
okay,
night.
Okay, I have
last
a quick
night.
Question. I have a quick question. Because I saw a clip of like Ruben Amaro and Michael Barkan like yelling.
Yeah,
at
they were going after
yep.
a little bit.
So why couldn't they pinch run for Castellanos?
So
because what Bader was, they were talking about Bader was not available.
Yeah, so I think they could have, Ross. I understand Ruben's perspective because they were down outfielders because the next batter who they used to pinch hit, Bader, who got the hit, he couldn't run. He's hurt with a groin.
But you can't pinch run two guys?
Well, they only had one more outfielder left on the bench. That was Wilson, who they saved to run for Bader. But my thing there, Ross, is it's almost like in hockey when you pull the goalie. Like, it's desperation here. So they had a backup catcher on the bench they could have used because I'm not worried about an injury at that point. I'm just trying to get to extra innings or win the game. And, Ross, in the past, teams have used pitchers to pinch run. Like, you have a bunch of pitchers. Like, Christopher Sanchez, who started two nights ago, he's not doing anything. Like, there's been desperate moments where teams have used other guys just to run because they're caught. So I understood Ruben's perspective, but I think there were other ways around it if they got really creative.
Wow. That was very, 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 very disappointing. It's almost better from a parent standpoint if they don't even have that rally in the ninth inning because it makes it so much worse, to your point, from like it gets your hopes up only to be crushed again.
I know. It really did. It was a tough one. All right, Ross. Well, this would be the portion of the program. At least we got an undefeated football team that never loses to talk about. But not this week. Ross, let's talk about what happened Sunday, and then we'll spin forward quickly to a short week with the Giants. Eagles dropped their first game, which on the surface, just a loss isn't the biggest thing in the world, especially in an AFC matchup. But Russ, what threw us yesterday and on Sunday was the way they went about offense in that game. We haven't seen a lopsided pass-run ratio around here like that in years. What do you think that was, and what did you make of the way they lost that game Sunday?
Well, so organizational philosophy has always been you throw to score, you run to win, right? So you throw early to get the lead, then in the second half you kind of salt it away, which I think is typically what they want to do. Obviously, I think there were a number of reasons why they wanted to get the passing game going early in this one. And I would say they kind of did. I mean, it wasn't on fire, but, you know, they were getting the ball downfield. Devontae was making some plays. A.J. Brown, you know, they were doing that. And even they had a couple that were very close and either got called back or he's out of bounds with Dotson and Devontae. The interesting part of it is that they throw the touchdown pass to Saquon, which, by the way, I would really try to throw the ball to him more. And I know there's only one ball and you can't throw it to everybody, but most coaches I talk to will tell you that's your best matchup. If you can get a running back that can run routes and catch passes against the linebacker, do that as much as you possibly can. I think last week kind of spooked him a little bit. You know, last week they had that lead on the Bucs. They tried to salt the game away. They tried to run it a bunch. They couldn't run it much. And, you know, they got zero passing yards. And they weren't really getting first downs. It was three and outs. So I think, Joe, they kind of decided, well, we're not doing that again. We're not just going to run the ball into a wall and not be able to get – we're going to stay aggressive. So I think that they thought they were doing the right thing by staying aggressive. But then what happened was is they weren't converting and they weren't taking any time off the clock.
Yeah, and it allowed the Broncos. Ross, I thought in the second half the Eagles' defense was gassed. They played over 70 snaps on Sunday in Tampa. Then they came home and played 70 snaps again. I thought Denver and Sean Payton kind of sensed it with the way they went about their offense and that two-point conversion. I thought the Eagles' defense, because of what happened with the offense, they just were gassed at the end.
I think that's part of it. I also think it's funny because I was so close to posting – in the third quarter, your quarterback's going to have to play a lot better than Bo Nix is to beat the Eagles. Because he was not good, I didn't think, for three quarters. All of a sudden in the fourth quarter, he was fantastic. I mean, he was awesome. Now, we all know that they got the benefit of at least two, arguably three calls that kind of went their way. Although I don't know that I thought the one was offensive pass interference either. But if you're the Eagles, You gotta make your own breaks too. You know, he made some nice throws to Cortland Sutton, but the Eagles really need, as good as he is, Quinyon Mitchell to force an incompletion on one of those. Even though Sutton's good, it's a perfect timing back shoulder throw. The third and 15 was really killer. I mean, the third and 15, that's the one that you really, at home, loud crowd, You should be able to get pressure and not give up a third and 15 like that.
Ross, what did you make of the miss that Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown had and just the whole situation? I know there was a report last night, which is good, that A.J. Brown, Jalen Hurts, and Saquon Barkley sat down together yesterday and spoke for a while, which, you know, that's obviously better than not. But that miss, that felt like a chance to end the game there. What did you make of that play? Was that Jalen holding on too long? Did A.J. really slow down too much? Because you watched the copy of it, like, it did feel like he stopped running on that route.
Well, first of all, I'm so thankful to hear that those guys talked for a couple hours. I don't know that anybody knows what's going on there, but they clearly, I know Hughes made comments about it or whatever, but, you know, when AJ first got here, all they talked about was how they were best friends and all that stuff. And obviously something happened, something changed that along the way, unfortunately. And they don't need to be best friends, but you definitely need to talk after a miss like that. I think what happened, Joe, is I think as A.J. Brown was running, Nick Bonito did a pretty good job of what's called rerouting him, right? So he got a nice shot on A.J., which made A.J. have to run around. And I think A.J. kind of thought the play was dead then. I think he thought, because I got rerouted, it's going to throw off the timing. He gets past the safety, doesn't see the ball in the air, doesn't think it's coming, throttles down a little bit. It's kind of like it's not acceptable. It's not okay. But it's also like when a baseball player hits a ground ball right to the second baseman. You know, those guys don't always sprint 100%, 100 miles an hour in case it's a bad throw or whatever. You know, they might run it out, but they might not be, you know, fully opened up. It was kind of like that for A.J. Brown. I think it's worse in football because you don't know if the ball's coming to you. Like, you got to run it out full speed, because if he doesn't slow down, it actually is probably a perfect pass for a touchdown.
Let's end with this, Ross. Short week, Eagles-Giants Thursday night. It feels like a spot for a get-right game for the Eagles, favored by 7.5. It's a division game, though, short week, on the road. What do you think of the Giants, obviously, now with a new quarterback in Jackson Dart in there?
Well, you know, I'm not going to say must win, but obviously the Eagles have to win this game. We all recognize that. The Giants are not good. You know, I've told you guys the last few weeks, I told you last week that I thought the Broncos were a lot better than people realized, and they were, and we saw that. The Giants are not good. They have a pretty good defensive front. You know, I love Scadaboo, the way he plays, and obviously, you know, Dart can make some plays with his legs, but they turn it over on 5 straight possessions against the Saints. I don't know that they'll do that against the Eagles, but this is a game where the Eagles are significantly better. Interestingly, though, Joe, because you know on Tuesdays I record the Even Money Betting Podcast, the Eagles were favored by 7.5. The book I use, they're now favored by 7. So some money has come in on the Giants. So some significant money, I guess, to move it by 0.5 has come in on the Giants. So there are some people that think, I guess at a minimum, that the Giants are going to be able to keep it close.
Yeah, I guess part of it, maybe the Eagles just not being able to pull away with their offense and how choppy it's been. But it should be a win for the Eagles. We shall see it on Thursday. Ross, we appreciate you hopping on. Enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll catch up next Tuesday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sounds great. See you guys.
There he goes. Ross Tucker with us there talking about the AJ stuff. And yes, there was a report Jimmy Kemsky had last night, Hugh, that AJ, Jalen, and Saquon sat down and talked, and it was productive for, you know, multiple hours yesterday. We back? We back?
Let me be honest.
Yeah, of course.
Nah. I don't think so.
Come on.
I mean, this is just me recklessly speculating.
That's what we do.
Because, like, my thing is this, and I want to be optimistic, but when you have that kind of, well, what it feels like that you have that deep-rooted situation, that it's not going to go away. Now, I think it's repaired in the sense where they'll communicate better, but that's going to take a little bit more time. Like 3 hours, like the way that they were acting, nah, 3 hours ain't going to cut it. But it's a start. Let me just say that.
Yeah, it can't hurt. It can't hurt.
It's a start.
Yep. And look, I know Ross said, you know, the line moved from 7.5 to 7. The Eagles should dominate this game on Thursday. I mean, the Eagles have had fewer first downs and yards than every opponent this season. That's got to change this Thursday against the Giants. All right, let's go to Al in North Philly up on WIP. Hey, Al.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm enjoying the show. I have a different perspective.
Okay.
You've listed a dozen things the Phillies did wrong, and it's just your ending that I think you should think about, because there's an alternative ending that's just as valid that I think would make people feel a lot better.
Okay.
It's not delusional.
Okay.
All right, so here's how it goes. Think about the dozen things that you said all morning about what the Phillies did to lose that game. Now, your conclusion is that, oh, they're going to lose the series. But there's another way you can look at it. If you were a Dodger fan, you would say, the Phillies did a dozen things wrong, and we still barely won. And now, what's going to happen when the Phillies return to the form that saw them winning two games in L.A. during the season? The Phillies are really in control because they're not going to make all those mistakes. The odds are against the Phillies making the same mistakes. I think the Phillies are going to do what they always do in L.A. Since I was a little kid listening to Harry Callis at midnight on my transistor radio, as the Phillies beat the Dodgers in L.A., I think they're going to do it again. They're not going to make the same mistakes that you guys have been great, just doing a great job capturing. I think it's a time to be optimistic. That's really the point.
So, Al, I can understand where you're coming from. I also think it might be fair to point out that the Phillies have held the best player in baseball to 1-for-9 with 6 strikeouts, and they haven't won either game. Like, do we think Shohei Ohtani is going to continue to do nothing here?
Well, that's a bright spot for LA.
No,
but you're saying
things are going to even out, right? Like, so they could. The Phillies could play better, but like Ohtani's probably going to wake up at some point here.
Yeah, but so will our bats. Their bats have been as silent as ours. Just look at their big players. And you think that's – have you read what L.A. folks are saying about their bats and their bullpen? Man, this thing's over. You should look at some of the national headlines, too. Dodgers barely survived.
He sounds like you.
Ninth inning rally. Dodgers survived bullpen collapse in 4-3 thriller. Yeah. Dude, we're looking at it from our perspective, and we think the sky is falling and it's over. But you know what?
I like this guy. Like
there's another way. It's just as valid. The odds are going to even out. The Phillies aren't going to make the same mistakes. They learned something. Tyler's not going to play for a tie again, or at least he's not going to say it. Mm-mm. He's not going to make those same mistakes. You know, so I think we got to look at it just favoring the odds and say things are going to be different in L.A. We beat them twice this year. We're going to do it again. And we've always done well in L.A., man. Just relax.
So, Al, I think there's a chance things get a little bit better. And, Al, they could certainly win a game out there. I'll appreciate the phone call. The problem is, and I do appreciate that. He brought some optimism to the table, okay? And as we spin forward to tomorrow, we're going to try to ratchet it up if I can get there. I know Hugh is going to be able to get there. But, like, they could win a game out there, and it still ends.
Yeah, it's
they
still
could
alive.
Win two games,
but
and it still ends.
But it starts with one. Starts with one, though.
No, I understand.
Starts with one.
Yeah, but, like, the hole is deep.
Yeah, it's a big old
hole. If this
hole
was 1-1, that's a different story. Yeah. Then, like, all right, maybe.
Yeah. You can climb out of it, though. It's not like you can't. I mean, it's a tougher hole to climb out of, but you can still climb out
of it. The perspective is interesting because they're, you know, they've been close-ish games, and they're playing, like, I mean, at least compared to how they played for most of the season, like, they're playing awful. right now.
I think if you want to have optimism, is they've been two coin flip games, and we've lost both coin flip games.
Right, but it's just a matter of do you expect more of the same from the first two games, which also now people have very valid reasoning for calling back to the previous Octobers. Like, this seems more like an October trend than a, just like a down part of this season.
When and to that, when we had our our roundtable on Friday, right, our rally for Red October, and we had Jack and James on, right? Yes. We were talking about the Dodgers. Jack said something that is, I think he brought up an interesting point about, because you've brought up, Hugh, that it's taken, they've been the best team in baseball for 13 years, the Dodgers, right? But they haven't won all the World Series. They had a lot of bad Octobers. But Jack said something Friday to us. One of his worries was the Dodgers figured it out. Like last year was they broke through, and now.
Now they're trying to work on that D word.
Right, exactly. So you wonder, like, did they just have figured it out now? And then are. Because for this to go the other way, they'd have to blow it, right? They're up 2-0. Maybe if we were playing the Dodgers of 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I'd say, you know what? They could do that. I'm not sure that this Dodgers team will. Brian in Mayfair, what's up, Brian?
Hey, what's going on, Anthony?
Hey, Brian. What's up?
I wanted to say just the Al's last call sounded like Cope, but that's not what I wanted to talk about. What, I have a question. What started this catalyst for the Phillies team originally all the way back in 2022?
Yeah, Topper, right?
Yeah, well, firing Girardi for Topper was the big move that season.
Yes, so why can't we, right now, in the middle of the series, fire Topper, replace him with Kevin Long, I don't know who would be replacement, and then we can maybe, hopefully, get the magic back. Because I don't trust Topper at all. He's lost all my faith.
He's lost me too, Brian. Now, I've never heard of a manager getting fired in a playoff series.
Yeah, and then with one game left.
But I am willing to try anything to now.
Desperate times call for desperate measures,
right.
You know?
Listen, Brian's thinking outside the box.
I mean, I can't. I mean, he is thinking outside the box, and I can't fault him for that.
Yeah. Listen, Brian, I don't think anything like that's going to happen, but.
Probably not, at this point, you got to try everything, and the Aaron Nola decision is just like, what has he shown us this season that makes us. Well, trust him. I don't understand it.
Well, nothing. I mean, if we're being honest, he has a 6 year. Brian approached the phone.
It's a hell of a two calls back to back.
It is.
Their Phillies have them right where they want them.
And fire Topper before
today.
Game three.
Yep. You know what it reminds me of? Was it the Red Sox documentary?
Yeah.
And Theo's like talking about how he's having discussions with the owner during the game while they're watching Pedro
about
blow it.
About firing Grady
and
Little.
Like, can they find Grady Little? Yeah. Can we fire him on the spot?
The funny part is we talk about that on talk radio. Like the Red Sox literally were having that discussion. Can we fire this guy now in the game? That's how bad it was.
When I saw Kirkring warming up after Lizardo was at like 72 pitches. Granted, Lizardo had, I guess, apparently reached his limit in that game. But like when I saw Kirkring warming up, I was like, hold on. I was like, get Topper out of here before he can even do this.
That it is what makes the postseason baseball so good. Like you consider within the game firing a manager. Just remove it. Remove him now.
I can't allow him to make that decision.
Get him out of the building now. All right, 215-592-9494. That is how you hop in and join this show. We'll continue to everyone's phone calls in the 1 o'clock hour. Blame game, frustration. It's all out there. I mean, the Phillies went down last night a game. That Lizardo was great. Hughes pointed out a couple times today the stat on Lizardo. We haven't seen that many guys retired in a row by a Philly starter since who, Hugh?
It's been since Roy Halladay.
Since Doc. It's kind of
that's crazy. Yeah, I know. Like 21 of them.
I know. And obviously the symmetry to last night was the anniversary of Roy Halladay's no-hitter in the playoffs. So, I mean, Lizardo deserved better. The Phillies, we deserve better than this. For it to be going out like this after the season they had. All right, we'll take your phone calls. Topper, the bats, the defense, all of it. Plus, I know some people want to talk about the comments that Nick Castellanos made directed at the fans and the Citizens Bank Park environment after the game last night. We'll hit that. What Castellanos was quoted as saying. Also, for the second straight game, while losing, we had to deal with the Duran entrance, which is now the most tone-deaf thing going on in the city. I mean, it is a flat-out joke. We'll get into that next. Midday show. Sports Radio 94 WIP FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casinos. Getting you ready for kickoff. With an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right. Pick a bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to download the FanDuel app today. Get started. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official sportsbook of 94 WIP.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.